all my cables are tied under my desk, and the adhesive that I'm using to keep the cords up there keeps falling down, and it brushes my leg, and I think it's a spider or something. I don't like it. So now I gotta hold this while we record. Otherwise, I have a thing about cords, you know. They have to be...
You're just going to hold it?
Yeah. Well, they have to be... I don't know. I just have a thing about cords.
But you're just going to hold it the whole time we record?
We'll see. Maybe.
Okay.
They got to be tied up. They got to be... I even got these little... maybe I told you about this? I'll put these link in the show notes because this product is amazing. But basically, you can take a bunch of cords and turn it into a snake. And if you're not familiar, a snake is a bundle of cords. And so it's kind of like this... a sock with a zipper on it, and you can just kind of zip all your cords into one nice looking snake. Gotta have those.
I would send you a picture of what my desk looks like right now, but I think you might have a literal heart attack if I did that.
You don't want the listeners of the show to hear the co-host die on air.
Yeah. Maybe here's what we'll do. I'll take a picture of it and we can put it in show notes.
I'll take a picture of mine and we can compare and contrast.
Just note before anybody actually looks at that, I'm a programmer for a living, not a clean desk keeper. Just remember that.
I'm a clean desk keeper. I could pivot to a clean desk keeper. I grew up with my dad standing on chairs, vacuuming the corners to get the cobwebs out. So I think I inherited that from him. And I don't know. I try to apply that to all areas of my life, including the cords on my desk, including the spacing in my code. White space.
Oh, yeah. White space is one thing that I always keep very tidy.
Yeah. I was hanging out with Kevin again yesterday, and he was showing me some of his PHP code, and they have a very different way of doing things. And I tried not to say too much about it. But it was fun. Went up to Burlington, got some coffee, hung out with him a little bit, etc. It's pretty cool. Got to show him my latest React projects.
React, Sean. What are you doing in React land?
Mainly just boilerplate so far. I have a client at Octopus that they have a requirement to use React and Redux on the project I'm working on for them. And so because I wanted to kind of level up before I jumped into it blind, I started another version. Maybe I mentioned this last week. I can't remember. I started another version of Exodus in React a while back to kind of prepare for that. So, yeah, I'm doing two different projects in React right now, just trying to get some experience. And so that way I can kind of compare and contrast it to Vue, because a lot of people ask me about React as compared to Vue, and I hadn't had a lot of straight up React experience. So, yeah, it's kind of a way to kill two birds with one stone, I guess.
Well, so how's that been so far? Are you enjoying it? Is it your new favorite thing?
No, it's not my new favorite thing. I still prefer Vue much more. That being said, I want to explicitly state that React is miles ahead of what we were doing, you know? So when React first came out, I looked at it and I was like, why would people do this? You know, JSX is gross. Why would you not separate your concerns and all that? Once I got kind of past all of my original concerns, I started realizing, you know, why having UI, you know, automatically update when the data changes is such a huge thing. So when I say React isn't my favorite thing and JSX is my favorite thing, I don't mean I dislike it. And I don't mean that it's not a good solution to the problems. I mean that I like other solutions to the problems a little bit better.
Well, I mean, I feel like that in a lot of ways is kind of the theme in our show, that there isn't one right solution for anything. And really the best tool for any given job is just whatever tool works best for you and that particular situation. There's not a one size fits all solution for anything in programming. There is something that works really well for just about any situation, but there isn't something that you can just say, this is always going to be the best. React is always going to be the best. Vue is always going to be the best. That's just not possible. That's not how any of this works.
Right. Yeah. And exactly. And I think in one situation where React outshines Vue is just the sheer size of the community, you know, the size or the sheer number of people that are writing tools, that are writing components that you can use. Just the open source community is, you know, much, much more farther along in regards to React just because there's so many more people. But, you know, like, I guess my thoughts on React so far is it's fine. It does a good job of handling what it needs to handle. There's just more to know surrounding it. I feel like the API is bigger than views, so it takes a little bit more to get acclimated to it. It takes a little bit longer to get acclimated to it. One thing that I've been running into is that there's so many articles written on so many different versions of React, so many different ways, like ideas of solving problems. When you Google something, you get a whole bunch of different results. And it can be kind of difficult to wade through some of that to know which is updated, which isn't, to know kind of insight on like what may sound like a good idea up front, but in practice isn't necessarily a great practice. So I think that more of my complaints about React aren't necessarily React itself. It's kind of the ecosystem surrounding it.
Yeah. And to go back to your point just now about the size of how much there is to learn, I think the API surface area is just something that so often gets overlooked when people are comparing libraries, comparing frameworks. And that's one of the things that I've always loved about Vue is that it is so much smaller. There's so much less to learn, and things kind of just work how you would guess they would work. For example, the way that you have like methods and computed and everything just kind of lives in its own little object within a given component. That is just kind of intuitive. And once you have a sense of how that works for one or two things, you can kind of guess how the rest of Vue's API works. So I think one thing that I really like about that, and one of the reasons that I really like that, is because it enables the kind of on-demand learning that both of us are such big fans of. It's something where you don't need to go looking for Vue experts. You just can look for people who are good at JavaScript and say, hey, read this, spend half a day kind of getting familiar with it, and then you're kind of going to be ready to go. It makes the onboarding process so much simpler and easier, which is really important, especially when you're working with big teams.
Totally. So one of the coolest things that I thought I saw recently on Twitter was my friend Charles Peters talking about how he just kind of went on a rant for a little bit about, you know, Ember and about React in current JavaScript. And the one thing he said about React was that in learning React, he actually became a much better JavaScript programmer, which I thought was, you know, really high praise. You know, saying like learning a tool actually taught me more about a language through learning that tool, I thought was, you know, that says a lot of stuff. And I guess in my experience, some of the older articles I'm seeing are using a syntax call or a method on the React class called react.create class. And that has a lot of stuff that comes with it, right? So it auto binds events for you. It just does a lot of stuff. Okay. And so now React has been transitioning to a more kind of slimmer, just JavaScript-based API, if that's even the right way to go about saying it. So instead of calling React.create class, you just extend the component class from React. And basically what it is a slimmed down version that doesn't have a bunch of magic behind the scenes. So you're essentially just creating a JavaScript class that inherits some methods from React. And I assume that's what he's using, because that kind of forces you to learn more about ES6 and more about JavaScript in general just by using it. So basically you go from using a bunch of kind of internal React stuff to just writing JavaScript and using bits and pieces of React that you need. So basically you are writing much more JavaScript, much more native JavaScript than much more like React DSL, I guess. Long story short, that's kind of what's happening there. Basically in their docs, they talk about early versions of React, like the create class method has a bunch of helpers in it that do things behind the scenes for you.
Well, the create class was before they made the ES6 switch, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was okay.
And in the ES6 switch is where you're actually just writing more pure JavaScript instead of using a bunch of DSL stuff that comes with React under the hood. You're just writing JavaScript and then hooking into basically lifecycle events as you need to. So I realized that was a really long-winded thing I just said there, Paul, and I apologize for that. But that kind of really illustrates how I'm feeling about React and the ecosystem, is that there's just so much more to wrap your head around. There's just more stuff to have to know about, which isn't, like I said, it's not bad. I just feel like Vue is, in my eyes, Vue is a little more polished, a little more streamlined, in a sense. But with all that being said, that kind of brings up a really good question in my mind, because I was talking to my mom earlier and we've had some stuff, some family stuff going on. So she's been really busy, and she had been in a position where she was, you know, getting a lot of momentum, getting a lot of steam on the front end stuff. And then suddenly she had to take a few days and tend to some other things. And so we were talking this morning and she was feeling a little discouraged because she felt like she was almost starting from scratch again. And it really hit me hard when she said that, because that's exactly how I'm getting that feeling right now. You know, so the last year I've been working on a Vue app and I felt like I was, you know, really learning something. And now I'm transitioning to a different technology altogether with React and Redux and all that stuff. And even though I'm not starting from scratch on React, I kind of have the same feeling where it almost just feels kind of overwhelming, right? There's so much stuff you have to relearn. It's kind of funny because I've done all this stuff in Vue before, and now I'm doing it in a new stack, and I feel like I'm starting from scratch there.
Yeah, I think that that's always a tough thing, and that's something that everybody struggles with, not just when they're learning and starting out, but the entire time during their programming career, really. I mean, we've had episodes where we've talked about this, where I'll be away from Rails for a month or two, just kind of working on other stuff. And then when I come back, I just kind of feel lost for the first couple of days. And it's a scary feeling in a lot of ways, because you're like, oh, I need to do this for a living. And I can't remember. I'm so slow compared to how fast I used to be. And things don't make sense. And I'm confused. And yeah, that is kind of a discouraging feeling for sure. But I think in a lot of ways, it is similar to, as they say, riding a bike, where kind of once you just get back into that flow, once you pick things up and don't get down on yourself for not remembering things right away. But once you start remembering, things will just click back into place for you. And a lot of times you're able to just kind of pick back up where you left off after a day or two.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of one of those things where you kind of have to just fight through that feeling. Like that feeling kind of comes onto you and you feel heavy. You know, you feel like you're not as good as you thought you were, or you took a step backwards. And it's one of those situations where, again, you kind of have to control your own thoughts. You kind of have to take control of that and just say, I'm not going to acknowledge this. I'm just going to keep pushing through it. And it's funny because I, you know, in the past we've talked about how important it is, you know, to have a blog or some sort of journal where you're kind of keeping a log of what you've been learning and your thoughts. And as we talk about that, I wrote an article a few days ago called JavaScript: A Land of Opportunity, where the closing paragraph actually just talks exactly about this. So it's kind of funny, like I'm reading it right now and it's edifying me. But anyway, so I quote Captain Safia on Twitter. She said, "The only requirement for being a programmer is being comfortable with constantly learning, especially when it feels overwhelming." And I feel like that's kind of where I'm at. And that's where she's at, is she being my mom, to where it's kind of overwhelming again, but that's part of the gig. That's part of the job. You know, what we're doing now, the things that we've been working on are increasingly more difficult. And it's partly that we kind of just have to learn how to be okay with that feeling of being overwhelmed.
Yeah. And anytime you're stagnant in programming is bad. That's kind of like the worst thing I think that you can do in programming, is just stop learning. I constantly have a feeling of being overwhelmed. I think that's a great way to put it, is just that means that you're picking up new skills. It means that you're keeping up with things, even if it doesn't feel like it. Because a lot of times I look at new JavaScript stuff and I think, oh man, I am so far behind. I don't know what's going on. How in the world does anybody keep up with this? But I think the big secret is that everybody kind of feels like that all the time. Even the people who do seem like they're really up to date, they are certainly out of date in other areas. Maybe they're super heavily focused on React and they know everything about that ecosystem, or as much as humanly possible, but they don't know anything about other JavaScript frameworks, or they don't know how to do CSS or something that seems simple to a lot of us. Everybody has different strengths and weaknesses, and I think it's important to not look at a lot of the so-called celebrities in the space and think, okay, well, these people know everything, I'm the worst. It's more like, what do these people know? How did they learn that? And how can I improve my skills so that I feel comfortable doing these sorts of things? And that's kind of nebulous in a way, I guess. But I think it really is important to remember that everybody doing this is just a human, and everybody doing this only knows a tiny sliver of the entire puzzle. That's a mixed metaphor for you.
Yeah. What ends up happening to me is I follow all these people on Twitter that are very good at their respective positions. You know, so like you said, they have an expertise in a certain area. And one thing that I do is I assume they know everything I know plus what they're talking about. So for me, that makes them seem like some sort of superhuman, right? They know everything. They're good at everything I'm good at, plus they know all this extra stuff. And I have to realize, like you said, that's not necessarily the case. You know, maybe they're just really specialized in the area and they're very knowledgeable in the area. There's other places that they just haven't invested time into. So again, that kind of falls on my shoulders, right? Because it's something that I'm projecting, and I don't know if that comes from insecurity. I don't know where that comes from, but
I think it's really funny that you phrase it in that way, because that's kind of the big problem with teaching, is that everyone always assumes by default that other people know what they know. Once you know what a function is in JavaScript, it's really difficult to explain, because then you know it. And you can't say to somebody, oh, well, you know, it's just a function, because they don't know that yet. And that is one of the really difficult things about teaching. And it's one of the things that makes us assume that everybody knows more than we do, when that's just not the case.
No, that makes total sense. And that's why, because people way back when would tell me, you know, start a journal, keep a journal of what you're learning, and then, or blog about it. And I would think to myself, why? Everyone else already knows this. You know, I'm writing for no purpose because everyone else already knows this. When in reality, there are tons of people that may not know what I just learned, and writing a blog, I mean, if someone might come across it, you know, that's worth the effort to write one post. You know what I mean? Like if you teach one person something and it costs you 20 minutes, I think that's worth it. So again, it's just kind of, once you step back and look at it objectively, you can kind of see things for what they are. You know, not everyone knows everything that I know plus some, you know what I mean? So another kind of tangential point to that is something I wrote about in the JavaScript article I talked about. And that's that as what we do as front-end developers or programmers gets more complicated, we kind of, so those of us that have been around for a long time, we're used to knowing a lot of generalists, right? People that do everything and do everything well. And as things get more complicated, as the tools get more complicated, there's going to be less and less of that. But I find that I still approach people with the same generalist mindset. Like, this person knows everything I know plus the highly specialized stuff that they're studying right now, which isn't the case. And so I'm really trying to change how I respond to things. So when I see articles talking about how complicated front-end development in JavaScript has become, I'm trying not to approach it from the mindset of a generalist of like, how am I supposed to learn all this stuff? It's so difficult. To the mindset of a, you know, specialist, where is this something that I can really latch on to and apply to myself as a JavaScript front-end specialist? And I don't, does that make sense when I say like the generalist versus specialist thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the move from mostly generalists to mostly specialists is something that you see pretty commonly, right? Especially in like sciences, where you'll have a broad area of study, and then as people learn all the real complexities of what goes into whatever this thing is that you're studying, suddenly you'll have specialists in areas A, B, and C, and then you'll have subspecialists of each of those areas. And I think that is really overwhelming to people that were earlier to the space, who did kind of need to know or have at least a basic understanding of everything, as opposed to having a really specific understanding, a really deep understanding of a couple things. And that is a very different approach. And in a lot of ways, I guess that's kind of why there are so many people who are upset about the way JavaScript is headed and upset about all these new tools. And I certainly have my own concerns there, primarily around onboarding new folks. But at the end of the day, we are going to need more specialization as all this stuff gets more complex. You look at apps that are being built in JavaScript now compared to 10 years ago or even 2 years ago, and it's kind of mind-blowing how much more there is just in terms of what the apps are doing.
Yeah, you almost can't even compare the two, because there's so much of a difference in just complexity of what they're doing. It's insane. And to your point of specifically onboarding new people, I kind of have fallen into, it's not really a trap, but it's not the best way to teach people. And, you know, I learned from being a generalist, from doing CSS, JavaScript, to like learning full stack and like Rails and stuff like that. So when I'm working with people that are wanting to learn, I approach it from the generalist standpoint, to where, you know, learn this first and then learn that and then learn this, you know, jumping between disciplines. And I don't really think that's a viable thing anymore. I feel like I have to adjust how I think in terms of being a specialist. And then I'll have to try to teach other people how to specialize first beyond growing, because it's almost like approaching the front end world right now as a generalist is just too daunting for someone that doesn't have any programming experience. It's just too much.
It's a lot. And I think that Hacker Noon article, the how it feels to learn JavaScript in 2016 one that you wrote a response to, I think that really kind of does uncover in a way at least, a lot of the difficulties around having such moving from that generalist to specialist kind of mindset. And while it is obviously satire and it's kind of silly in a way, it does frame that question and frame that problem from the perspective of someone who hasn't done JavaScript for a while, someone who hasn't done front end for a while. I can't even imagine what that must be like if you were away for a couple of years and you come back and you're like, where do I even start? How would I even, I don't know how to do any of this. I need to use something to transpile my JavaScript. I need something to package it all for the browser. I need something to do X, Y, and Z. There's just so much stuff. There's so much. And I think that while a lot of that stuff is great, and a lot of that stuff, almost all of that stuff is very useful and helpful, we're going to need to, over the next couple of years, we're going to need to hit a balance where we can onboard people quickly, but still kind of have that complexity where when you want to dive in more.
Totally. You know, I think Redux actually does a good job of just being upfront. Basically, like in the documentation, there's a big disclaimer saying, do you actually need to use this? Are you doing A, B, and C? Well, then you probably don't need to use this whole library. You know, you can probably find something that's much simpler that'll get the job done for you. And I think that's one thing that's going to help going forward, is just kind of being honest of like, do you need this new shiny thing, or can you get by with something else that's less complicated? So yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of like slowly moving in that direction. Again, it's weird because the pace of things moves so quickly, but also it seems like there's so much more we need to do, more in areas we need to grow in. Like, you know, trying to approach things through the specialization and trying to approach things like saying you don't actually need this, you can do something simpler. Because a lot of the material coming out is, well, if you're not using this, if you're not doing things this way, this complicated way, then it's not even, you know, you're not doing it right at all. So I think that as the community continues to grow and mature, we'll kind of realize that there are more than one way to build applications. You know, there's more than one way to skin the cat. And even though I may have come up with all these ideas, you know, you don't necessarily have to adopt them to make something useful.
Yeah. And there's such a tendency in the industry, especially in front end, to look at something that's older. It doesn't even have to be old, but just something that's not the newest, fanciest thing, something that's not the latest and greatest, and say, well, that's just unusable now. No one can ever make anything cool with that ever again. And that, I think, is really kind of the heart of what makes it difficult to onboard new folks. I think specifically, let's say jQuery is an example. I think if you're building out your first couple things, you probably should be using something like jQuery, just because it's so much easier to wrap a normal human brain around than a lot of these new tools are. And it requires so much less. You just add that script to your page. There's no build phase. There's nothing. You can just add that script and start writing stuff. And there are still a bunch of great jQuery plugins. There are still all sorts of really cool things out there for jQuery. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that personally. And I think that as a community, we should be more accepting of people who write things in different ways like that, especially people who are just beginning. You shouldn't throw somebody 20 different libraries that they have to set up in order to make their first hello world, you know?
Right. For example, in schools, they teach you algebra before they teach you calculus. There's certain things you need to understand, have a grasp of before you can move on to the next, even, you know, like trig before calculus. So I think you're totally right. I think that using jQuery is perfectly viable. There's still tons of people that use it, and it's fine, because, you know what, at the end of the day, the website runs and the website works and the users are consuming the content that those people are creating. So it's still viable. You know what I mean? It still works. It's totally fine. I have a thing about chords, you know. They have to be...
You're just going to hold it?
Yeah. Well, they have to be... I don't know. I just have a thing about chords.